good morning or good evening or good afternoon, wherever you are and whenever you're listening to this. Welcome to the Modern Employer Podcast, where we bring you thoughts, practical tips and advice from progressive people from all over where we can find them, all in hopes to inspire you and many others to promote an even better employee experience, as well as support our businesses in achieving their goals in style. Supporting our businesses to achieve their goals in style means that the people leaders themselves need to be able to support each other and to be able to achieve their own goals, to be really present for the business. So the value of this episode for everybody here is just exploring what it feels like to be a female leader, sometimes the sole people leader in the business, how hard it can be to navigate our career development and growth in a male-dominated senior leadership world, and just in general, just understanding that we are here on this journey already. We already have the space to be here. We already made it to where we made it. Now, what are we going to do with it, and how are we going to push each other and challenge each other on that growth journey? In this episode, you will be hosted by me. I'm Olya Yakshina, and I'm the head of people at Switchy. And to unpack this wonderful sentiment with me is Ruth Penfold Brown, the coach and mentor and the founder of Bloom, and Natasha Norman from Meter. Let's introduce each other. Please, Ruth, kick us off.
Thank you so much, Olya. I'm so happy to be here. And so to anybody that doesn't know me, Olya is right. My name is Ruth. And my mission is to empower women in HR to reclaim their confidence, to take up space, and to manifest their dream career, which is why Olya set that up so nicely. And I do that through Bloom, which is a course community and also one-on-one coaching for women in HR. And I also do more work with like organizations, not always just female teams actually, but still the Bloom method being involved in that. And I created Bloom because I was coaching different people and I could see the difference between the men and women that I was working with and how much harder it seemed for women to get out of our own way in order to take up space. And it reminded me so much of my own experiences, which I'm sure we'll get into later. And so I was like, hey, I think this is my calling. I think I need to support this group. I want to help women like me learn how to love and value themselves sooner. And that's where Bloom came in. So yeah, let me know if you want me to say any more on any of that, Olya.
Oh, trust me, I'm gonna ask you to talk a lot more about all of that. Thank you for being here, Ruth. It's fantastic to have you. And Natasha, welcome.
Hi, Olya. Hi, Ruth. Yeah, lovely to be here. Thanks for having me on. I am currently the head of people and talent at Meter. And Meter is a pricing operations platform that powers every variation of usage-based pricing for software companies. So I joined Meter around 2 years ago when we were about 20 people, just about to officially launch. We're now about 60 people. And I'm still the single people person in the company and have been responsible for, you know, the overall employee experience in that time. And, you know, I'm really, really happy to be here speaking on this subject, you know, and to be here with Ruth, because this concept of development, you know, female career development has been so important to me. You know, as a career transitioner, I used to be a lawyer. I've experienced, you know, firsthand so much what I think so many of us experience, you know, the imposter syndrome, the burnout, lots of the things that I'm sure we'll talk about. And just to echo what Ruth said, a big part of my mission is also to empower people generally, but especially women, to thrive, you know, and to have that support in the workplace. And I must say that I have participated in the Bloom program, and it has been absolutely transformational. So I couldn't be happier to be here to talk about it today.
Thank you so much, Natasha. And can I just tell our listeners today that discussing, you know, our challenges as sometimes sole people leaders, discussing the things we're going to be talking about to you today, that's quite intimate for us three. So I hope you all appreciate us opening up, and this is a very safe space. So I'm so happy to have a coach with us who is going to empower us through this conversation, I hope. But you know, just for everybody else's understanding, you probably feel the same way. So talking about our challenges, talking about that growth, talking about what we're missing sometimes, or what we think we're missing sometimes, we don't really talk about it enough, because that can be perceived maybe as a weakness, or maybe even further impact the imposter syndrome. Not every woman walks into the senior leadership table and says, "That's it. I feel very low confidence right now. Let me tell you how much undervalued I feel." and how difficult it was for me to come to this meeting. I was shaking for about 5 minutes before I walked through the door. We don't talk about this enough. And so I wanted to kind of discuss with you both here, and, you know, Ruth or Natasha, if you want to step forward to kind of talk to us about some of the challenges that we don't talk about enough as female leaders in our work.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy to go first if you want, Natasha.
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, if I think about the challenges that we face that we're not talking about, I mean, I think the idea of us shrinking is a really big part of that, right? What I've realized through working with many different women now is that we're kind of trying to figure out how to take up space in an environment that wasn't made for us or by us. So we arrive at that leadership table and we look around us, maybe not even then, maybe before then, we look around and we see how the dominant culture works and what these unsaid, unspoken rules are. And we realize that maybe it's a bit different to who we are naturally. So rather than then seeing that as a precious gift and know that actually our magic is going to be in bringing all of who we are to that space, what actually then happens is we tell ourselves that that means we're not good enough, that we don't fit. And then we try to be more of who we think we need to be in order to fit. And I spent a very long time doing that, holding back in meetings, avoiding speaking up, letting someone present on a topic if I could get away with it, even though actually inside me, I wanted to speak up. I wanted to have a voice. Like, I had this urge, which I now know was my intuition saying, you need to speak up here. You need to do this here. But trying to navigate my way through that when the dominant culture wasn't celebrating me and my uniqueness is really, really hard. I'll pause there deliberately.
You paused there deliberately. I was like,
come on.
The power of silence in coaching, yeah. Everybody. We will be pausing. We've established that now. I think I just wanted to say that I really agree with that. And this is probably something that I have struggled the most as well. Seeing people look differently, you know, different to me, seeing people be different age brackets to me, seeing people being from different, you know, numbers of years of career experience to me, everything so different to me that it in some way made me feel like I don't belong here. So it was a mistake. I generally at some points was like, is this too much luck? Like, is this a mistake that I'm here? When are they going to realize? When are they going to realize that I don't fit? Oh my God, have they already realized? Does it mean I need to prove to them something that they don't know about me? And kind of these intrusive thoughts is what really was making it quite hard, turning up to these meetings, as I said, like being very nervous to speak up and stuff like that. What was your experience like, Natasha?
Yeah, it's so interesting to listen and just get that validation, because I too relate so much to what both of you have just shared. And I think, you know, when you said what's one of the challenges that people leaders and, you know, especially female people leaders face, I think probably two things come to mind, and one of which is a more general challenge, which is, although there has been a big shift, I think there's still quite a way to go in terms of convincing businesses that the people function is as strategic, as commercial, as valuable as other functions. You know, we know that people are the heart of every business, and that it is the job of the people function to bring these people on board, you know, to make sure that, you know, they have what they need to thrive. There wouldn't be a business without them, as we know. And I think this almost exacerbates the problems that Ruth was talking about, which is, if we already feel like that internally at the best of times, and then we walk into these environments that maybe, you know, kind of are set up like this, it can be difficult, you know. And obviously this is a generalization, but women in my experience tend to self-advocate less or to shout about what they're doing. And so I think a lot of the work on the people front is often more silent, less visible. So it's like, it's the constant checking in. It's the making sure people are okay. It's like the small day-to-day actions. But, you know, it can be really challenging when you're in that role to have that self-belief and conviction that we're doing the right thing and that it matters and that it's important. You know, when you throw that in the mix on top of what Ruth said and what you said earlier about like the self-doubt and the speaking up, it's just, it can be so immensely challenging. So I think that's one thing. And then the other thing I thought of is also that such a challenge that I hear time and time again, and I see across people leaders, and especially female ones, is that, you know, we spend so much time worrying about everyone else. That's what we do. Are they okay? What more can we do to make them better? And so often it's at the expense of our own needs. Yeah, I think we saw a lot of this during COVID, when people really, you know, they went above and beyond to make sure that everyone was okay. And when so many females, I mean, I'm talking about myself, but so many people I know and that I've met through Bloom and Ruth, who are, you know, people pleasers and have that perfectionist way and want to make everyone else really happy, it can be such a challenge to make sure that you're okay too, and that it's sustainable.
Ruth, thank you so much, Natasha. I think like what you're touching on around kind of people pleasing is what I'd really like Ruth's help on for some listeners here, because in some of my chats with Ruth before, we were talking about this whole people pleasing and then how that can sometimes, again, like not let us advocate for ourselves, please ourselves. I want to please myself too.
Yeah.
So could you talk to us a little bit around this whole concept of people pleasing, maybe, and how it affects people leaders when it comes to pushing themselves through some doors that should be open for them?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it for a lot of us, it goes quite far back. And at some point in our probably early life, we somehow learned that maybe we weren't enough. Right. And then we set about living our life in a way where we tried to be enough with everybody around us. And that meant, guess what? We're the people who remembers everybody's birthdays. We're the people that arranges all the stuff. We're the, you know, and you can see it throughout your life. If you look back, this hasn't just started in the workplace. Throughout, and add to that the expectations of what it means to be a woman or a girl, right? How we're meant to be and all of that stuff. And you end up with some very people-pleasing people. And guess what? Lots of those people, lots of those women end up in HR because it's an industry, whether it's recruitment, whether it's talent, whether it's people, whether it's culture, we're trying to serve others and make the world a better place in some way. And a lot of that starts with people pleasing, right? So it's not a coincidence that so many of the women that I work with feel the same way. But that is not a good enough reason to keep living like that, right? And we have to learn how to serve ourselves first. And serving ourselves starts with building a relationship with who we really are. And what I mean by that is not the person that we think we need to be, not the person that we're trying to be, not the person that's trying to use words that aren't familiar. I mean, like, you at your essence, who are you? And then, I mean, through Bloom, the Bloom method, the structure I've created is really a framework that helps people get back to who that is. and then build confidence in who that is and look at how that shows up in the workplace and then how we can amplify it in the workplace. And, you know, we literally work through the elements of, but the foundation is who you are, learning to love who that is. And I can share more ways that we can do that if you want me to, right? Learning to love who that is. And then leaning into the discomfort of bringing that into the workplace. And that means leaning into challenging conversations. I like to call them empowered conversations personally. But leaning into what is slightly uncomfortable for us, because the more we do that, the more we build the muscle that means that we're able to do that. And I don't, by the way, sit in some ivory tower of confidence on any of this stuff. As you can probably tell by what I said in the beginning, I built this stuff through lived experience. I built it through shrinking, through not feeling like myself, through holding back, through not asking for what I wanted, but then becoming so frustrated with myself that I started to hack the environment I found myself in, and that I started to, you know, pick up tools and ideas from different places. That's how I got here, by building it myself. And so wherever you are right now, if you're listening to this, I am not special and unique. Olya isn't either. I mean, we are, and Natasha isn't either. We are and we aren't, right? You can also take up space at work and claim everything that you want out of your career. You just have to configure yourself in the right way to do it.
I think I resonate with that so much, because you already are taking the space. You're already there. You're already that people leader. And it's about sort of the atmosphere and the vibe and the environment you will create in that space for yourself that is going to either empower you or shrink you. And with psychology, you know, at hand, and all of the cognitive behavioral therapy I went through, it's about the thoughts that we tell ourselves. So if we can love ourselves for who we are and with weaknesses and strength that we have, we can help have better, more productive thoughts, which is actually moving us on to another thing I wanted to talk about today, is kind of what other practical advice we can give to our listeners for how, you know, to help ourselves through our own career growth and empowerment. I'd like to welcome Natasha to kind of talk us through maybe your journey. So you went from 30 people to 60 people now, and you're still the sole person. You had to grow. There's no doubt there was a growing learning curve for you. Having gone through this, can you give other people, leaders who are in the same space right now, who are the sole people person, give them some practical advice on how you went through your learning curve, really? What worked?
Of course, Olya, great question. And there was a lot of learning, and there continues to be. But I would be very happy to share what has helped during that period. So I think you're starting out 20, 30 people had so much imposter syndrome, which I'm sure lots of people will resonate with. As I mentioned at the beginning, I had in my head that because I had previously been a lawyer and didn't have 20 years of people experience, you know, they hired the wrong person, they needed someone who'd built their career. You know, I completely ignored the fact that there were so many transferable skills, of course, right? Because I didn't have the confidence. And so, you know, what have I done in that period to help with that? I think there's no silver bullet. That's the learning. But I do.
Natasha, that's why I invited you to this podcast. What do you mean there is no
three?
Silver.
There's
that's
three.
That's it, everyone. Natasha is going.
Tired. There's not one, but I do think there are lots of things that one can experiment with to find what works best for you. So one of the things for me, which actually I did discover through Bloom, and I'm not just saying it because Ruth is on here, but
always it's a good practice.
But it is a tool that has been so transformational for me, and I would imagine may help other people leaders. It's called a case file of excellence. And what it is it's basically a record that you keep for yourself of every time you get positive feedback, you accomplish something, you achieve something. And the reason it's so effective is that on those days that inevitably come where we think, oh, God, I just don't know what I'm doing. Why did they hire me? I'm not good at my job. What do I even do? It's so helpful to look back and have that tangible record. Because I don't know about you, but it's so easy in the world today to get to the end of the week or the end of the month and think, what have I even done? What impact have I made? And having that, the evidence basically to look back on, has been transformational in building confidence in myself, quieting that voice, and being able to advocate for myself. So I couldn't recommend that more as a practice. And we've actually brought that into Meter. I'm really fortunate that we have a very people-focused, supportive leadership team who really encourage this practice now too. And even our promotion process is now designed around this. So like you own your promotion and advocate for yourself, because I think it's so important. So that's been huge. And the other thing I'll say is having people who support you, who push you to get out of your comfort zone and who are there for you no matter what, makes all the difference in the world. So I wouldn't be where I am without it. And, you know, Ruth has been instrumental in that. Kind of, you know, as mentioned, having a supportive leadership team and peers who have been outstanding in their commitment to my own growth and development. But whether you have that in work or not, one of the things I found to be most effective is to find your tribe. So what does that mean is finding like-minded people who are going through a similar journey. So people like you, Olya, who, you know, and I'm sure some of the listeners, hearing people who are undergoing the same experiences, hearing about what they've learned, what works, what hasn't, and even that identification, right? Being able to talk about people pleasing, being able to talk about imposter syndrome and knowing that you're not alone has enabled me to get where I am, absolutely, for sure. So kind of those two things really stand out as like practical tools that I would suggest people experiment with.
Thank you so much, Natasha. I really like the advice around finding your tribe. And something that you touched on as well is that you have in your business a leadership team that's quite open-minded and supportive for the people initiatives. There's other people, leaders that I found who are going through these journeys of, you know, their own career growth and development, trying to find their voice, also being the only sole person, and they have a leadership team that is not open-minded. They have a leadership team that's blocking their work or not letting them bring the good value that they have inside them to the table for one reason or the other. And I just wanted to say, kind of for the purpose of this conversation, really, that this does not define your capability. The fact that the leadership team is blocking you does not define your capability and your value. And sometimes, you know, I've really seen kind of people, leaders, getting into that habit of assuming it as a personal accountability. Oh, they don't want to do this suggestion I have. It must be a shit suggestion. I think just don't underestimate how that tribe, whether you like it or not, it's your work as well. At work, you have a tribe. At work, people surround you. The atmosphere that they create surrounds you and it will impact you. So have a think about how your atmosphere at work and the founding team, the leadership team you work with, how does that atmosphere impact you and your self-beliefs and the thoughts that are happening in your mind? That would be just another practical tip from me, because if you find that these people do not motivate you, do not help you grow, bring you down, then have a think about long term how much that's going to slow you down on your learning curve. Do you have anything else to add on this one, Ruth?
Yeah, well, I mean, I will definitely plus one on the tribe thing, and I would go further with it. And something we talk about in Bloom is the different kinds of people you need in your tribe. And I have three categories: the champion, the challenger, and the cheerleader. right? Now, your champion, and we all need one of these, at least one in our what I call executive team. And I would like to encourage you all to create your own executive team around you. They don't have to know that's what you're doing, by the way. You could just be seem like you catch up with them every so often and they don't know that that's the role. So you don't have to like offer them a job or anything quite so prescriptive. But let me go into those roles. So the champion is someone that will champion you when in rooms that you're where you aren't, right? Someone that's maybe a bit further ahead of you that can maybe give you some advice, but also kind of break down barriers on your behalf, right? The challenger is the person who keeps you honest, right? Because we're all very good at believing our own hype, even if that hype is very, very detrimental and low self-esteemy. So you need someone that keeps it real with you, that's like, is that really how you feel? Or are you not being quite honest here? And then the final one, the cheerleader, is really that hype person, right? You know, the person who's just like, yes, go and do it. Yeah, yeah, don't care what it is. It can be completely bonkers. Doesn't matter. You're amazing. Go and do it. You're amazing, right? And we all need that person too. So definitely be intentional about how you create that team. The Bloom Method literally stands for beliefs, love, ownership, operating system, and manifestation, right? Those are the letters of Bloom. And obviously there's a myriad of tools in there that I could shake out. Case File of Excellence is definitely an excellent one that Natasha spoke about. But when it comes to how you live and breathe, one of the most powerful things that you can do is to learn how to say no. Now, that's not easy for people pleasers, because we spent our whole lives saying yes. And we spent our whole life saying yes to non-promotable work a lot of the time. And then maybe feeling a bit salty when you don't even get a thank you when it's all said and done, right? And we do that quite a bit, being honest. So with saying no, I would advise you to learn how to flex that muscle as quickly as possible. Start in lower stakes situations. So are there people that maybe you can even say, hey, I'm trying to get better at saying no. I'm going to work on that with you. It's going to be a bit clunky at first, maybe a colleague or a coworker or something like that. Start with them, but having a community around you who is working on it that can then help you get better at it. In Bloom, we literally have scripts of how to say no to different things, and we actually practice it all together, because the more that we can get used to saying that really important word, and the better our life will be. And the way I want you to think about no is by saying, if I say yes to this thing that someone's asking me to do, what am I saying no to? So what's the opportunity cost of you saying yes to something that doesn't serve you? When you start to think about your yeses and how precious they are in that way, it helps you to get much, much better at saying no.
Amen.
Pause.
Pause for thought. Intentional silence. Thank you so much, Ruth. So I think we sort of touched a little around that, building around that tribe. And I do really love that idea of, you know, the cheerleader, somebody who's always there saying well done, but also the challenger, somebody who will give you that feedback. How fantastic is it when it could be our manager who could be giving us such a multifaceted thing, though? So it's definitely also something that I would give as a practical tip. If you're currently maybe moving between different careers or looking for another role, have a think of whether the manager or the person you're going to be reporting to at your interview stages, whether they'd be able to provide you with that form of support. Have a think about what form of support you really need to be able to empower yourself and continue sort of serving the business's goals in the best way, because you will yourself be more fulfilled in your roles. I really loved the conversation so far. I think one other thing really is just how do we feel now? Like I've done some of the exercises through Bloom with Ruth, through our one-to-ones, and Natasha, you've done some extras as well. If you were to kind of
pick maybe a couple of things that have really changed for you and the difference that it makes in your day to day. Maybe some examples really of some of the things people can look forward to once they crack the code of successful growth. What does it look like?
Sure. I think, God, there are so many. I talked about the case file of excellence already, but I think I'll go back to confidence being the root, you know, and how much it has helped build that confidence. And, you know, one way that I notice on a daily basis is just my ability to speak up in meetings. So, you know, Olya, you talked about at the beginning that shaky feeling before you might enter a meeting. And, you know, I used to have that so often on so many meetings, especially with, you know, more senior people, that physical fear of speaking up and then silencing myself. And, you know, I'm not perfect. It's still a work in progress. But through working with Bloom, and as Ruth described, you know, really learning who I am, how I operate, and bringing that into the workplace and being proud of it has really enabled me to be much more confident in speaking up. You know, I was thinking about how I would describe this, and I'm not going to share the quote, but there is a quote that I love that I feel really defines the difference between life after Bloom and working with Ruth to before, which is, it's this Teddy Roosevelt quote, which I heard from Brené Brown. Thank you, Brené. Where he talks about that credit goes to those who are in the arena. So he talks about, you know, it's those whose, I think it's like those whose face is dusted with blood and sweat and tears, and basically those who strive and try again and again and get up. And that even if like those people fail, they do so daring greatly. And before Bloom, you know, my whole career, I was so driven by fear and anxiety about not being enough, you know, making a mistake. And these days, thanks to the tools like the saying no, the case file of excellence, defining my values, I have the courage now to get into the arena, and I want to, you know, and I know that it's okay to speak up and not be perfect. And, you know, and going back to the tribe, that community through Bloom, through the other people communities, I know it's there to hold me. So I'm so much more comfortable to do those things because I know I'm not alone. And that makes such a difference, knowing that there's a safe space to come back to talk about these things. So yeah, that's been a huge difference to me. You know, speaking up, submitting a piece of work that's good enough without being perfect, being comfortable saying, I don't know, without fearing that people will judge me for not being intelligent enough. And I guess, yeah, making a mistake and not letting it define me.
I actually loved the example of the outcome that you said around being able to say, I don't know. I think this is probably the biggest difference I felt for myself, because I realized that the way that I come as I am and with what I can bring right now, I love myself for it, and I can appreciate what I can bring to the table now. And stuff that I don't know does not make me less. It's an opportunity to find out. There's also just something empowering in being able to say, I don't know, but I'm going to go and find out. I don't know, but I am resourceful, so I'm going to go and find the right answer fast. I don't know, but that's okay, because there is an expert out there who specializes in this and knows a lot better, and I'm going to go and ask them. I think one thing I struggled with, which is an example of this exact thing, is like seeking external advice from people that specialize in this, like instead of trying to come up with it by myself in the past, because I was lacking that confidence in myself and thinking, oh my God, I'm not enough. I better say something. Otherwise, it looks like I'm not intelligent enough and I don't know how to deal with it. Let me just come up with something fluffy, at least, so that it kind of looks like I have the thinking and I have the potential. Maybe it will be right, maybe it will be wrong, but God forbid do I say, I don't know how to deal with this. And that's so scary. It's so uncomfortable to do that in the moment. And how much liberating is it? And how much more like calm is now for me to say, I don't know, but that's okay. I don't blame myself for it. I think I'm brave for admitting what I don't know, and now I'm gonna go and find out. That's definitely kind of one of those differences I found sort of at the end of my journey with some of those room practices too. But thank you for bringing that one up. I sort of familiarized with it, so I had to say something. I had to say it. Ruth, what else have you seen people be able to do differently as they completed the Bloom course with you?
Yeah, and first of all, I just want to say it is brave. So it should feel brave because it is brave. And honestly, hearing you both talk about your experiences sets my soul on fire, because Bloom really is me bringing my heart to the world, right? It's me sharing what I learned myself, what I have lived too. So I know what it feels like to have to, you know, to have to do that, to have to make that shift. And I think, but if I think about, and what you were saying, by the way, really resonates, because typically I do see people, you know, we hold back because we're afraid of getting something wrong, but actually people actually see us as more of a leader when we say, I don't know, can you explain that a different way? Or I didn't quite understand, or let me see if I can find out. You know, the more that we claim that, actually people see us as more, not less. And other quick thing, when you ask somebody for their advice, they think more of you. When you ask them what they would do, everybody loves giving advice. So rather than feeling like you're going to expose yourself as someone that doesn't deserve to be there, what you're actually going to do by saying, I'm not sure, what would your advice be? If that's the right thing to say in the situation, you will delight the other person, because people love giving advice. But I mean, I guess the biggest shifts that I've seen in women and in myself are going from unseen and undervalued to visible and valued within the organization, being able to attract different career opportunities and not having to fight to be on a shortlist. I mean, it was amazing. Once I learned how to take up space and claim myself fully, suddenly people were like, hey, can you come and do this job? Hey, can you come and speak on this panel? Hey, can you come and get involved in this thing here? And whilst you'll be more desired for those sort of bigger, more leadery roles, you don't have to take them. That's okay too, right? I mean, a big part of what I do in Bloom is help people really get intentional about what you want in the season of life that you're in, right? So that you're not going after something that you don't want, but you're getting closer to what you do want, right? And be able to make the bold moves that you want to make, whether that's more pay, whether that's progression in some other way, whether that's a promotion, whether that's more peace, or whether it's a pivot. And that you may also just want to try something different and try something new. But all of this means learning how to manage expectations, prioritize work, and uphold your boundaries. It means that you know how to deal with stress when it comes. It means that you love yourself. Yep, I said it, love yourself and understand your value. And it means that you can self-advocate in an aligned way, so that you're not trying to ask for more in someone else's voice, you're asking in your own. And the more that you do that, and the more that you be that, what I love the most about this work, and you'll notice it through your own experiences, the more that we do that, the more that we do that, the more we become. My word for this year, by the way, is luminosity, right? And it's perfect here, because the more that we light up everybody around us too, right? And sometimes people don't know it's even happening, right? Suddenly your boldness, your bravery will be the thing that other people can then latch onto and be like, you know what? I just feel it. I feel a bit more like I'm able to ask for this, because I saw that was my friend Natasha she did that in her job and it was okay. And they loved her for it. So maybe I can do that too. So this is where I think the sharing of stories and being vulnerable really, really matters. And that's exactly what I'm trying to create a space for in Bloom.
Thank you so much, Ruth. Again, just such amazing practical tips and advice that people can take away and maybe try do some of that, after they go back to their day-to-day and finish listening to this episode. So just to summarize, today we talked about being a female leader, sometimes being the only people person in the business, and how we navigate that relationship with our self-esteem and confidence as we grow and we try to open doors for ourselves. And I guess the main things that we learned from this conversation, and something I'll take away as well, is that credit goes to those who are in the arena. We don't want to fear making a mistake, because once we made the mistake, we can learn from it. We can have the dust on our face. We can have the dust on our fingers. And that's just testament to us trying harder and pushing ourselves and having that challenge. It's okay to say you don't know. It's okay to say, no, you can't do that, but somebody else can. It's brave. And in fact, a super, super duper tip is asking people for what they think, because that's also a form of leadership, and that will bring them along the journey with you solving that problem together. Have a community and a safe space to come back to. I constantly talk about people's stories on here. If you are interested in people's stories, come and check it out. This is exactly the sort of safe space I welcome people to on their journey as a people person, really. And finally, be intentional about your needs. If you do really go and try and love yourself for who you are and advocate for your values and beliefs, the energy you will have will grow and affect others around you as well. So that's just another fantastic way of filling up the space you take with a good positive energy that is infectious and that people want to be around, hopefully propelling you further in your career and showing you better places you can be. Thank you so much for everybody who tuned into this episode, and thank you so much to Ruth and Natasha for being here.
Thank you so much, Olya.
Yes, it was lovely.
We will see you all in the next episode of the Modern Employer Podcast, and goodbye for now.